We came in for a mission.
The snap. Winston sells the play action fake again. Looks sideline. Bay route toward the corner of the end zone. Caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans takes it over the shoulder.
This is Monday's Buccaneers Total Access.
Fire the cannons.
Where each week we feature a different Buccaneers player. Brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Join the conversation at hashtag CatchBucksFever. Here's your host, Bucs Insider, Casey Phillips.
Welcome in, Tampa Bay. Happy Monday to you. Hope you made it through your workday. Great. And we have an awesome guest here with us. This is going to be a fun hour. Pat Murray, kicker, is joining us right now, and you're going to get to ask him all of your questions. You can do it on Twitter. Use that hashtag BucsRadio. You can also submit them in the feature section of the Bucs app, or hear your phone numbers if you want to give us a call. Hillsborough County, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and toll-free, 888-546-4620. Pat, how are you doing?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Outstanding. I love hearing that. And I also love that you said you're more nervous for this than to go out there and kick a football, which blows my mind.
You know, I'm used to kicking a football. I'm definitely not used to being on the radio.
Yeah, kickers don't always get quite the media attention of the other players. Is that fair?
Yeah, and I think I like it that way.
You like it that way? Well, maybe we can change your mind, and at the end of this, you're going to wish that kickers got all the interviews. Hopefully, we'll try that. Okay, so first time kicking at Lambeau, is that accurate, or had you been there before?
I had been there last preseason when I was playing for Cleveland.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So had you had any sort of awe with it before, and had that now gone away since you'd been there before?
The awe of Lambeau Field will probably never go away. Vince Lombardi. There is no better guy in football than Vince Lombardi. There's nobody more important. The fact that he's a Fordham graduate as well, and the fact that he coached there.
Well, look at that. No wonder. You seemed very certain of how amazing he was, and this makes even more sense now.
Yeah. We heard a lot about Vince when I was at Fordham, and obviously the seven blocks of granite. There are seven blocks of granite outside of our stadium at Rose Hill. So to play in that stadium, to see his name up there, it was a real treat.
That's amazing. Would you consider him the most famous Fordham graduate?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Second only by, you know, Pat Murray. Right?
I'm not there yet, but I'm hoping one day, but that's not going to happen.
That's the goal. I like that. And to tell people about your Fordham experience, you had sort of an interesting entrance to college and then to the pros. Tell us a little bit about your pathway there and how you went high school to end up at Fordham.
I went to Don Bosco Prep High School in Ramsey, New Jersey. We're a national powerhouse team, especially when I was there. I think we went six seasons straight undefeated, state
wow.
champions, two national championships. You know, since we're in Florida, I have to mention that we did beat St. Thomas Aquinas twice.
I was already making people mad right here on the
you
radio.
You know, they thought they could beat us, but the Jersey boys came down and, you know, we could play football too. So playing there offered me a lot of opportunities to play in some big games and to come in some pressure situations and make some big kicks. Kind of really did prepare me for college. The problem was coaches told me a lot of the time that I wasn't going to be big enough to play college football. And as a kicker, I thought if I put the ball through the posts, it's happy enough. Don't really care how big I am.
Wait, they said you weren't going to be big enough to play kicker?
Yeah. 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 There were some coaches that said that. And, well, thankfully I proved them wrong.
That's so crazy to me. I can't even imagine that.
Yeah. And funny enough, Coach Bajakian was actually one of the guys that was recruiting me. Coming out of high school to Central Michigan University. Butch Jones was the head coach at the time. We didn't end up going there, obviously, but it was nice to kind of run into Jake, and he's a Jersey guy as well. So from there, I actually committed to the University of Delaware. And for me, I went there in the summer, just didn't think that it was the place for me. Nothing against the university, nothing against people there. It just didn't feel like the right fit for me. So I came home before classes had started, and my mom's a Fordham graduate. And, you know, she would always wear the Fordham sweatshirts, and she'd always talk about Fordham, and I never listened because I didn't think Fordham was for me. I'm really not a city guy, and Fordham being right in the middle of the Bronx, I didn't think that was a place to go to college. We went anyway and took a visit. My mom, being the person that she is, she definitely had a plan. She hasn't admitted it to me yet, but she definitely had a plan.
Yeah, she doesn't seem like she was super subtle about this.
Nah, she took me on campus. You know, let's go see if it's a place you'd like to go to school. And walked on campus and really liked it. It definitely felt like a college campus. The football team happened to be practicing at the same time we were there. I don't know how she organized that, but I'm betting she did.
She had a hand in it.
And she said, just go introduce yourself to the head coach. Tell him who you are, where you went to school, and say, you know, this might be a place you'd like to go to school. Went up, had a conversation. He said, come back tomorrow or the next day, but send him my highlight tape first. So I said, okay. We said our goodbyes, walked back to the car. As we're leaving, the coach calls me and he said, we know who you are. We know where you went to school. Come back tomorrow. We'll get you in. And fortunately, I had great SATs. I had a great GPA. So the transition was seamless and ended up being a Fordham Ram.
That's awesome. What a great story. And then an interesting entrance in the NFL as well, where you had had so many just different ups and downs and injuries and changing teams. It's been an interesting journey for you, it seems. And I found out part of it, I didn't know right before the show, you said your first ever NFL kick was blocked.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you were like, well, this is going well so far.
Welcome to the NFL, Rook.
Yeah.
That's one way to come in, but you can look at it two different ways. It got blocked. How do you respond? Well, I came back and I hit my extra points and I hit a field goal late in the game and we had a chance to win that game. After that, there was a lot of learning throughout the season and I learned a lot about myself and I definitely grew from it.
And then you had several injuries that came up in really inopportune times. So what do you feel like that taught you and what that did for your career and to where you are now?
You know, Coach Cutter had really touched on passion the last couple of weeks. And I think my passion for the game is really what showed over the past 2 years. Having the ACL, having the patella, very inopportune times, very weird injuries. I'd never been hurt before. The last time I was hurt, I broke my arm the day before kindergarten. And my mom still made me go to school the next day and cast. But you really do learn a lot about yourself when you're sitting on an operating table ready to go under the knife. And you learn a lot about yourself through rehab. And you learn a lot about yourself when you're taking job interviews thinking that you might never get another shot in the NFL. But really my passion was football. Thankfully, I got the phone call and I'm making the most of it.
Yeah, that's great. And how would you evaluate how you've done since you've been back?
You know, I think that I've kicked the ball well. There's obviously kicks that I could have been better with, and over the next 4 weeks we're just going to continue to get better. Simple as that.
What did it mean that it was the Bucks that brought you back, that you know you could have just it was, of course you were going to want a job in the NFL, that was the first priority.
Yeah.
But the fact that it came full circle and you got back here, what did that mean to you?
You know, it was full circle is the best way to describe it. The first person to come up and say welcome back was Jameis, and that really shows you what kind of person Jameis is. It shows you what kind of leader he is, and shows you the kind of person who he is, not only on the field, but off the field as well. He's a guy you want in your corner. He's a guy you want under center. And truthfully, it was great to see all my friends that I started this journey with once again. You know, it's pretty cool the way this stuff works out.
And you got a game winner even this yeah. season. That's got, I mean, I have to imagine that that's every kicker's dream is game winners. Is that fair?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's great to hit a game winner. It's great to put the team over the edge and help the team get a victory. I mean, I'd like to kick no matter what time of game it is.
Yeah.
To me, it doesn't matter, because to me, no matter if I'm kicking an extra point in the first quarter or a game winner at the end of the game, it's the same mentality. And I got Garrison and Brian snapping and holding. It makes my job that much easier.
I've always thought about how, for punters in particular, how weird it is that you want to play, but if you're playing, it kind of means the team didn't do what they wanted to
right,
do.
Right.
And so to be a really good punter is kind of against what the team needs. And
sure.
a kicker can occasionally be the same thing, where the team is always going to want 7 points. Now, at least you do still get to get out there and get the extra point.
Right.
But is that ever kind of a weird thought of, like, if really the team is doing everything they want to be doing, you're only going to be getting extra points?
You know, I've always said that I want to lead the league in extra points. That's always been my mentality, because if we're going down there and scoring touchdowns, that means our offense is clicking. That means we're going to win a lot of football games. And at the end of the day, I don't care how many points I score. I just care about the record at the end of the year, because this is a team game. It's not an individual thing. Patrick Murray doesn't want to break records. Patrick Murray wants to win a Super Bowl with this team. Simple as that.
That's awesome. And that's funny. I was going to ask you how much you do feel a part of the team, that I've always noticed that, you know, you guys are kind of off on another field, the specialists,
right.
You guys are so often doing your own thing, your
yeah.
own meetings, your own practices, and how often you're separate from the team. Even during a game, mm-hmm. they're all out there playing and you're over on the side kicking by yourself. That it just feels like you're just this, oh, kicker, go stand over there,
yeah.
rest of the team over here.
Yeah.
How do you make sure you still feel a part of the team, and what are the aspects of that to ensure that mentally that is your approach?
Well, first of all, you have to earn respect. And you earn respect by your performance on the field. It's the same with any position. So as long as I'm doing my job on the field, I feel like I can earn the respect of the other players on the team. And I feel like I can earn the respect of the coaches. As far as being on an opposite field during practice and kicking by myself during the game, it's like a closer, like Mariano Rivera, the greatest closer of all time. He's doing his own thing, getting ready for the ninth inning when he's got to come in and shut him out. For me, I'm getting ready for that opportunity where they say, okay, Pat, go kick a field goal. I got to go out there and execute. Similar to a sniper as well. He's got to be ready to make that shot when he needs to make that shot. So it's a mentality that you develop over years and years of pretty much just kicking by yourself.
By yourself over there hanging out, you and all your friends on the sideline.
I'm funny, so I can make myself laugh.
Yeah, you got the whole audience you need right
That's
over there.
It.
I love it. Well, we got a ton more time here with Pat Murray. Tons of time for you to get all your questions in. Use that hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter. Submit the questions in the feature section of the Bucks app or give us a call. Buccaneers Total Access with Pat Murray brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access continues. Brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM. Home of the best Bucs coverage. Once again, your host, Bucs Insider, Casey Phillips.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Total Access with Pat Murray. You got tons of time left to get your questions in. Hashtag Bucks Radio on Twitter, the feature section of the Bucks app, or give us a call. So we were talking a little bit before this about how the specialists are sort of off on their own little island during practice, meetings, that sort of thing. Do you ever get the other guys on the team giving you guys grief for this, and that, especially if they're having to, like, run during training camp maybe, and you guys are just kind of chilling off to the side? I imagine that there's some times of slight bitterness that they experience.
You know, it's funny. Everybody wants to be a kicker. Everybody.
Yeah.
No matter if it's Donovan Smith, no matter if it's O.J. Howard, everybody wants to be a kicker. Everybody can be a kicker. And then you go put a ball down on the ground and
not so much.
Then it changes. But yeah, you're always going to get grief from guys because they're out there running sprints. They're out there covering really, really fast guys, and they're out there hitting each other while we're over there doing what we do, and
hanging
that's
out.
Kicking a ball or hanging out at certain times.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, if they want to be a kicker, I'll go play their position. I'll take their paycheck. They take mine. That's fine.
I love that.
That's fine.
That's pretty great. And speaking of guys who think they can be a kicker, we heard Brent Grimes gave it a try at one point. Were you back with the team when that went down?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
You know, Brent is an unbelievable athlete. He's probably the best overall athlete I've ever met in my entire life. With a little coaching, he actually did pretty well.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, I was impressed.
So that came up because we had someone ask Coach Cutter if, and we're knocking on all the wood here, that this is not a thing, but if you and Brian were both unavailable for a game, what happens and who takes over those duties? And he didn't know the answer. He said Brent was the one that seemed most vocal about wanting to take over that.
Yeah.
But do you know the answer to this?
I hope I don't have to answer that question ever. But Brent, you know, he could step in there and he's confident. I'll give him that. So line it up and let him go for it. Adarius tried, and that didn't go very well. So I think Brent would be the logical
Adarius
choice.
Is the backup long snapper, right?
He is.
Okay.
And he actually long snapped in practice this week.
Yeah.
Great.
Look
Did a good
that.
Job.
That's pretty impressive. So you don't know who would be the, like, after you and Brian situation?
I hope we never have to find out.
Sounds like that's a good thing because it doesn't sound like anybody knows the answer to that. So hopefully it's just never an issue. Okay, so we have a question from Kyle now on our Bucks app. He said, welcome back, Pat. Great job so far this season.
Thanks,
Were
Kyle.
You ever nervous coming back to a team that had struggled with some kickers? Did that ever mentally affect you?
No, truthfully, I pride myself on mental toughness, and I pride myself on the way that I prepare. My father and I have been kicking back home for the last 10 months, putting myself in situations during those training sessions that would prepare me for when I did eventually sign with another team. So nerves never bothered me. I actually felt very comfortable being back out there and being in Raymond James. You know, it was fun.
Which is pretty awesome. All right, and we were talking a little bit about you and anger and that you guys are each other's backup.
Mm-hmm.
So you punted in college
I
and
did.
Were very good at it. Weren't you an All-American? Is that accurate?
Yeah, my junior and senior season.
For punting as well. So would you be a better punter or would Brian be a better kicker?
I'd be a better punter, no doubt.
Not even a question.
Not even close.
Would he also give that answer?
He would be wrong.
Oh, so you're thinking he would say that he'd be better...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I am the better dual guy, without a doubt.
That's pretty great. I enjoy that. When's the last time you tried punting?
When I was home.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When you were rehabbing and stuff, you worked on that too?
Over the last 10 months, yeah.
Yeah,
I do it as a warm-up. Because for me, growing up playing Gaelic football, it was all punting. So punting's more natural for me.
There you go, which leads me right into my next thing I was going to bring up, and that is that why you were good at punting. So for people who don't know, explain Gaelic football and what that is and why you are so familiar with it.
Okay, well, the best way to explain it is to just say go on YouTube, search Gaelic football, and watch. But to give you a little overview, you've got 150-yard field by 75 yards wide, 15 on 15. It's all men marking. You have a goal with two goal posts coming up from the end of the goal. In the net is 3 points. Over the bar, in between the posts, is 1 point. You've got a goalie. It's pretty rough. There's no pads, but...
So it's like a rugby, soccer, football hybrid thing.
Sure. Australian rules football is another game that you can compare to it. You run up and down the field with the ball, but you have to solo it every four steps, which means you got to kick it up to yourself, or you have to hop it, which means bounce it every four step, but you can't bounce it twice in a row. That's
overcarrying. Oh my gosh, this is crazy.
And you can pass it by kicking it to somebody, by punching it to somebody, and the ball is just moved back and forth, and guys are scoring points from 50, 55 yards out, and it's a very fast-paced game, very physical, and it's what I grew up playing.
That's awesome. And for people who don't know, why did you grow up playing that?
Well, my father's born in Ireland, and he grew up playing Gaelic football. His two brothers actually played for County Monaghan. And in Ireland, counties are like states. So you play for the county that you were born in. They played at the highest level. They're very, very good. My Uncle Kieran was an all-star, which is similar to an all-pro. My Uncle Brendan should have been an all-star, but back then, Kerry, which is another county in Ireland, were winning everything, and it was very corrupt back then, so they didn't give it to him. And just growing up watching their games, watching it on film, and just visiting Ireland every summer of my life and going and actually kicking a Gaelic ball where they played, it's my first love, and you know, I continued to play it all the way through college until coach found out, and he said, you better stop.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
And how much did it affect you? You said your technique is a little bit, at least with punting, it was affected by it. What about with kicking? Did that affect the way you kick maybe compared to other guys?
Sure it did. I take a very Gaelic style approach to kicking the ball. Every kicker is going to be a little different. Everybody has their own idiosyncrasies. But for me, I'll take a field goal like I would take free in Gaelic football. Because for me, I'm just trying to hit it over the black spot, which means down the middle, because there's a little black spot in the middle of the goalpost in Gaelic football. And for me, that's just the way that I approach it. It's just another free.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. And so you said your dad is Irish.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't you almost play in Ireland after high school? Wasn't that part of the decision-making for college as well?
Yeah. I had a kind of interesting recruiting process. I thought I should be getting more looks. I wasn't, because apparently I was too small to play college football. So actually I applied to DCU, Dublin City University, over in Ireland, and I was going to go play Gaelic football over there. And for whatever reason, I got talked into staying, and my own mentality was like, no, you put a lot of effort into football. You might want to stay and give it a shot. And, you know, the rest is history, I guess.
Are you happy with that decision now? Do you wish you'd gotten a chance to go play in Ireland for a little bit?
I wouldn't be doing this if I was over in Ireland playing Gaelic football. So no, I have no regrets. I'm very happy with the decision I made.
That's awesome. And what are the ways that having that Irish heritage has affected your life, the way you were brought up, the way you approach sports, all of that? That's a pretty unique thing for an NFL player, I feel like.
Yeah, you know, Gaelic football is an amateur sport. These guys go to work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, do whatever they need to do, whether that be teachers, bankers, whatever. Most guys are laborers as well. So to do that and to have time to train, to lift weights, to eat right, and then go play for your county on Sunday, then get up on Monday and do it all over again, for me, that's sport in its purest form. And I think that's where Gaelic football has an edge over a lot of sports, especially in this country, is that sometimes professional athletes are viewed as guys who get pampered and just play on whatever day they're going to play on. But in Ireland, you got to go work a job. You got to provide for your family. You don't get paid to play Gaelic football. You do it because you love it. You do it for pride. And so for me, I play football for pride. I do it for my family. I do it for people that have gone before me. I do it for the guys in the locker room. You know, the fame, playing for the, you know, that stuff for me, I just love the game. Simple as that.
I love it. We're talking to Pat Murray here, and now that we've brought up the Irish history, we got to hear the accent, which I do think is funny. It comes out a little bit more when you talk about Ireland, which always makes me laugh. Like the moment you start bringing up those terms, you start talking about it a little bit more. So I know you can turn it off and on like incredibly easy, right? It's like nothing to you.
Yeah, it's no bother.
I got to hear this. Okay, so tell me something about practice in your Irish accent.
My girlfriend's probably cringing as I say this because she finds it a bit odd that I do it. But, you know, when we go out to practice, bit hot. Thankfully, I have my sunscreen on because, you know, having this Irish heritage, having this Irish skin, you know, bit pale, so I burn easily. Getting out there, getting loose, Brian comes out, Garrison comes out, and, you know, we're just getting ready, and the lads over there, they're getting warmed up as well. They're a lot bigger than I am. It take a bit longer to warm up them big bodies. Then, you know, you go into practice and do me kicking and drinking some water, because down here in Florida, you need to stay hydrated. And then it's time for kicking field goals at the end of practice. If I make them all, everybody's happy with me. If one doesn't go right, then I hear about it. And then Coach Cutter breaks it down, and we go in, we get some food, and we're grand.
That was incredible. First of all, I wanted to hear what practice was like for you. And also, it being in the Irish accent, I feel like made it infinitely better. That was amazing. So your girlfriend is not a fan of this?
No, she's not a fan.
She's not a fan.
She's not a fan.
Okay,
she's probably laughing and she's listening right now.
This blows my mind because I feel like I hear girls all the time talk about how they think accents are so awesome. I feel like it was the movie P.S. I Love You that did it, like the Irish accent
definitely.
Thing. So you found the one girl to be your girlfriend that doesn't like this. I'm so confused.
It's just funny because I'll annoy her with it and I'll go back and forth in it. And she notices the same thing that you notice when Ireland comes up in conversation, the accent does come out. A bit thicker.
It's like you don't know how to say the words affiliated with Ireland, not in the accent.
And I say certain words very differently than she would. Like ham, I don't say that. I say ham.
Okay, yeah. So even trying to say it like her is funny.
Like amen, it's amen.
That's so just funny.
It's normal for me.
So knowing that besides your girlfriend, way before you met her, I'm going to save you with this as I say this, way before you met her, was this a thing that you brought out to try and win over some ladies?
I don't know if it's to try and win over some ladies, but for me, it was always fun to go to a restaurant or go out with some buddies and start up a conversation with somebody. And then halfway through the conversation, switch into the accent and see if they noticed. And then seamlessly switch in and out of the accent to see if they would kind of catch on, and you get some weird looks, and it is hysterical.
I imagine you going to like an Irish pub and them thinking that you're just like making fun of them or just doing it because you're there. Was that a thing that you ever did?
No. But I tell you what, the best pub in Tampa, Four Green Fields.
This is the official Irish pub chosen by the Irish person, without a doubt,
Four Green Fields, the best place to go. But no,
you need a sponsorship here. Like that's what we need here for this radio show is getting you the sponsorship of the Irish bar. Like how many other athletes in Tampa can be saying that they need to be that kind of sponsor?
They have great people over there. They have great music. They serve the best pint if you're into that kind
of
stuff.
I love it.
And, it's just a great people, a great atmosphere.
So I imagine St. Paddy's Day is a bit of a big deal for your family.
You know, when we were in grade school, we would have the St. Patrick's Day Parade, and we'd go to the Pearl River St. Patrick's Day Parade, actually, and march in that. That was always big. I can remember walking down the avenue with the rest of my classmates, and that was always fun. We'd go back, and we'd have food afterwards in the big cafeteria, and yeah, I still go to the Pearl River Parade. I don't march anymore, but I'm there. I'm present, and definitely St. Patrick's Day in New York City, there really is nothing like it. Everybody just has a good time, and the saying, everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day, that's true. I've seen some people who, you know, didn't have an Irish accent, but were fully Irish that day, and it's just a good time, and the Irish people, they're just such a welcoming people, and, you know, come on, let's have some fun, or let's have the crack, as they would say.
That's what that means?
Yeah, C-R-A-I-C, crack is fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, don't do drugs.
Yeah, I was like, wait, we need to clarify this, children. This is not what he meant. And how about, I know Irish Catholic family for you, especially holiday traditions that you guys have that are pretty cool.
The biggest holiday tradition is Christmas Eve at Gummy's house, which is my grandmother.
Gummy? And, is that
Gummy.
What
you're Gummy.
Is could, that an Irish thing or just a thing
no,
you call
No, I couldn't
her?
Say grandma when I was younger, so it was Gummy.
Gummy.
And then Christmas Day at our house, you know, you have to have your lamb at Christmas, and it's just a, you know, you just eat.
You just
all
eat all
you
day.
You just eat all day. That's we don't have awesome. Any, like, real traditions. Oh, you know, you go to Mass Christmas Eve and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But no, nothing crazy.
That's awesome. Do you know of any other Irish NFL players at all?
I'm sure guys have Irish heritage, right. lineage. I don't know specifically, though, right now.
A whole lot of people. That's interesting. Would you want to go play Gaelic football after your NFL career is over?
That's the plan, yeah.
That's the plan?
Yeah, my club, Rockland GAA in Pearl River, that's who I'd go back and play for. And I'd try and play for the New York senior team. You know, hopefully.
Does that make you feel old that you'd have to play for the senior team?
Well, the senior team is not the senior team as in 65 and over. It's the highest level you can
oh,
get.
Oh, okay.
So,
not the senior citizen team.
No. Not the senior citizen team.
My
Let's
bad.
Clarify that. No.
My bad.
That's the highest level you can get. Not like.
Prestige senior.
There you go.
Not age senior.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. That's fair. So for now in your career, we had a question. This is pretty great, and I think a tribute to kind of what you said about why you love Gaelic football and growing up with that idea of sports. But John wanted to know, how did you stay so positive through your journey toward being and staying in the NFL?
Truthfully, it had to do with the people around me, namely my mom and dad, my brother, my grandmother, my cousins, and some of my closest friends. Joe Sullivan, who was my long snapper in college, has been there every step of the way. And sure, it's tough to get down on yourself when you get injured and, you know, you're watching the games on Sunday instead of playing. But truthfully, without the people around me, without the love and support that they showed me, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. So they really kind of shoved me in the right direction, and I can't thank them enough.
That's great. All right, we got a caller on the line. We have Mark from Tampa. Go ahead, Mark. Oh, sorry. Mark apparently is gone now, but we do have Kyle on the line as well. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, question for Pat. You mentioned having mental toughness, and I can tell you kind of got like that hobbit thing going on, mentally tough. But I was wondering, like, what kind of competition would you have with the other kickers in the league to see who truly is the most mentally tough?
I guess the best competition you can have is who performs the best on Sunday. I don't know if there's one specific competition where you line 32 guys up and have them go in a mentally tough competition, but as long as you perform your job on Sunday, you'll see who's more mentally tough.
I imagine it seems like it might be something about game-winning opportunities or go-ahead, you know, the crunch time field goals
right.
and what your percentage is in that as compared to maybe even your overall kicking percentage. Maybe that would be an indicator.
Yeah, it absolutely could be. When it comes down to crunch time, you really see who, you know, who's supposed to be there.
Yeah, that's a very good point. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Buccaneers Total Access with Pat Murray. We'll be back. You can still ask your questions, hashtag Bucs Radio on Twitter, the feature section of the Bucs app, or give us a call. Buccaneers Total Access with Pat Murray, brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Don't go anywhere. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Now more on Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Total Access with kicker Pat Murray. Still plenty of time here to get to your questions. Hashtag Bucs Radio on Twitter, the feature section of the Bucs app, or give us a call. All right, so when you go to a game day, I know kicking seems like one of the positions that could have a lot of routine in it, and it is such a mental thing that I imagine routine is important to mm-hmm. you on game day. Do you consider yourself superstitious or just, I have a routine?
Definitely not superstitious, but I do have a routine, and I like things to go a certain way. It just makes me more comfortable. Simple as that. And for me, if I'm comfortable, you know, I'm ready to go on the field.
So what is the routine? What are the big things that you want to go a certain way on a game day?
Well, it starts from waking up on time,
yeah,
which I'm pretty good
that's
at.
That's good.
I'm just getting a shower, getting loose, eating the same thing for breakfast that I always do. I like to keep that routine simple. Getting my coffee on the bus. And then as soon as we get to the stadium, I'm ready to go and start rolling out, doing what I need to do, stretching, go out on the field, find my targets on the field, behind the goalpost where I'm going to kick the ball based on certain yard lines. I like to go inspect the extra point line. I like to go and inspect the 35-yard line where I'm going to be kicking off. And there's after that, you just go in, you get ready. I have the same warm-up routine that I have before Brian and Garrison come out. We go through our routine. We hit the extra point before we all go in the locker room. And then after that, I'm ready to go.
All right, we're definitely – I want to find out more about those points you talked about that you're going to aim for. But real quick, we have a caller on the line, Cole from Lakeland. Go ahead, Cole.
You guys, this is awesome. I just want to tell you, it's phenomenal. I'm loving hearing more about you, Pat. That's awesome.
Thank you.
I have a question, though. Do you think the coach would be okay with giving a kicker offensive player of the year for the team? Because it seems like it's yours with a quarter to go. I just thought that would be awesome because, you know, without you, it's kind of stunk around here for a while. And I just want to say thank you for making all your extra points and doing the best you can on the field goals. I appreciate that.
Well, Cole, I appreciate the kind words. But truthfully, I think we've got some studs on offense. I think Cameron Brate is so worthy of Offensive Player of the Year. I think Jameis has really stepped up in situations and really shown his toughness. And I think that's something that is so important when it comes to being a leader, is showing your toughness and your willingness to get back on the field for your brothers. And I think, you know, Peyton Barber, I mean, he's been tremendous this year as well. Adam Humphries, Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, the list goes on and on. I appreciate the kind words, but we have a lot of guys on that offensive side of the ball that have really done some special things.
That's pretty great. And Kyle had a question on our app. He said, who is your favorite kicker or punter? And you can't say yourself. We know how confident you are.
Well, I guess if I can't pick myself, Adam Vinatieri, 100 out of 100 times. He's the GOAT for a reason. He is Mr. Clutch. He's all the nicknames and superlatives you want to give him. And I remember reading an article about him when I first started kicking a football, and this kind of has stuck with me. The reporter asked, how do you know if you made the kick or not? He goes, well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't see the ball go through the uprights. I let the crowd tell me if I made it or missed it. So based on whether he was home or away, the cheers or the boos would let him know whether he made it or missed it.
Wow.
And he said that because his technique was keep his head down, similar to driving a golf ball, and making sure he sees that ball leave his foot. And he knows that if he keeps his head down, keeps his eyes back, he's going to have good form, and the ball is going to go where he wants it.
Wow, that's really interesting. Have you employed this technique, or have you left that to Adam?
No, I have employed this technique. My eyes are back on my field goals. You can see it in some of the still shots. And for me, that's huge. It allows me to keep my form straight. It allows me to keep my foot at the angle I needed to keep it at. And the balls are going straight.
That's pretty awesome. All right, we got another caller on the line, Pat from St. Pete. Go ahead, Pat.
Hello, fam. Another Pat. All right, as an ex-kicker myself, I know you guys kick together. Is there another kicker like Zerline who makes a 70-yarder? You go, where is this guy's leg? It's just amazing to me. Do you ever get jealous of other kickers?
No, I never get jealous of other kickers. Everybody has something different. And for Greg, yeah, he's got a great leg, absolutely. But I'd like to think that I've got a pretty good leg myself, so I'm pretty happy with Pat Murray kicking the ball.
That's pretty great. And okay, so before we took a few of those fan calls, we were talking about your pregame routine, and you mentioned picking points that you would aim for based on the yardage line. Can you explain that a little bit more and what that means?
Sure. I'll use Raymond James as an example. So I'll go out to different yardage points on the field, whether that be the 21-yard line on the right hash. I'll take my steps back, and I'll find an aiming point up above the goalposts without any fans. It's normally one of the letters on Raymond James, and that'll be my aiming point. So I'll pick that out, know it's right down the middle of the goalpost. I'll take my two steps over, and I'll simulate a kick. And then I'll go back to the left hash, different yard line, and I'll pick another letter in Raymond James, and that'll be my aiming point. And that's how I know when it comes down to game time, based on wind conditions and things like that, I'm going to aim at that point, and I expect the ball to go there. And if I have to adjust it a half a letter or so, then I will to, you know, judge based on wind. But that's what I'll do in every stadium that I go to. I'll pick an aiming point at different yardage lines, just get myself mentally ready.
And why those points, especially so high like that? Is it to make sure you have the distance? Is it so you're not looking at the fans trying to distract you? All of the above, other things?
Definitely not trying to look at a fan because they're moving. Yeah. Normally when you pick a letter on a stadium, it's pretty still.
Yeah.
So for me, I just want to pick a confident aiming point that's not going to move, that I know is going to be there 100% of the time, and I go off that.
So you never really even see the fans that are behind the goalpost?
Never.
I've always wondered that because, of course, they're always going crazy trying to distract you guys,
yeah.
Which now it sounds like is a pretty futile attempt in what they're doing.
Yeah.
So they should just not even bother is what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, if they left that completely blank with fans, that's fine.
Yeah. Either way, it doesn't matter. You're not seeing them. That's pretty funny. And then you talked about the wind. This is something I've always thought is fascinating of it almost seems like a ton of math would be involved to know exactly what this meant of the angle and this much wind and how you compensate. How do you make all those decisions?
Pre-game is huge to figure out what the wind is doing, how it's affecting the flight of the ball, whether I need to move it 2 footballs to the right of the middle, 2 footballs to the left. Brian helps me a lot with that as well. He's played in a bunch of stadiums, and together we're able to say, okay, start the ball on this line. It's going to move this much, and we're always trying to get it through the middle of the goalpost. It doesn't always go through the middle. But if we give ourselves enough room, then we should still make the kick.
And you talked about it being how much you move it over almost being measured in football widths.
Yeah.
Is that, and I'm trying to imagine how you can even visualize that
right.
So far away. And so like how, when you line up, you've picked your point, but then you're saying, okay, now I'm going to take that point, but do a 1 football to the left. Is this mentally what's going on in your mind as you're about to kick?
Well, I'll pick my aiming point when I'm addressing the football. In pregame, I'll find letters, but based on wind and things like that, I'll pick my aiming point when I address the ball, which means when Brian gets down in his stance. And then I'll go off that line instead of maybe the line that I picked an hour and a half or 2 hours earlier because the wind conditions may have changed.
Right, which was going to be my next question of your time about how important pregame is, but things can be entirely different during the game.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it during the game as well. The game is 3.5 hours long, so wind
you're
conditions...
You're only out there kicking a few times. You got a lot of time to kill.
Yeah, wind conditions can change, so we'll notice things and we'll feel certain things on the field because the way the flags are flying up top may not be the way that the wind's going inside the stadium. So we'll talk about these things and we'll adjust, and as we're going out there, I'll take a look at the flags, Brian will take a look at the flags, and I'll know what I need to do, and we'll just go do it.
We're talking to Pat Murray on Bucks Radio. So that's a good point about the flags at the top versus down in the bowl. I'm imagining there's a lot of circular wind inside these circular stadiums.
Yeah.
What would you say is the hardest stadium you've ever had to kick in terms of what the wind seems to do or just the overall conditions, weather, everything put into it? What one place would be the hardest?
Heinz Field. It's the toughest place to kick. In my opinion, Cleveland's tough as well. Soldier Field in Chicago is tough. But if I had to pick one, I would say Heinz.
Was that a thing that would have entered into your decision-making when you were looking for teams? I mean, you ended up signing with Cleveland, and you just said it was one of the hardest places to kick.
If you can kick there, you can kick anywhere, in my opinion. You know, Phil Dawson proved that. He kicked for a long time there, and he was very successful, and he's still kicking.
That's pretty great. All right, Mitch wants to know, greetings from another Rockland County boy from Spring Valley.
Good man, Mitch.
He says, you make us proud with your kicking. What distance starts to make you nervous when you go out for a field goal attempt?
No distance makes me nervous. If you get nervous when you cross those lines, you've already lost. We kick enough in practice. We kick some pretty long ones in practice to where in a game I feel very confident no matter where I go.
Longest field goal you've ever hit, practice, anything, whatever.
73.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Is this on video somewhere?
I don't know. I hit it going into my second season here during OTAs, so they might have it.
That's incredible. I imagine that you were pretty pumped after that happened.
That was a good one. Yeah. That was fun.
That's incredible. Okay, so the mental side is obviously everything people talk about with a kicker for the most part. What goes on in your mind when you're about to make a kick, and is it different depending on the game situation, or do you have exactly the same mental thing that you do no matter what's happening, how far the kick is, when it is in the game, any of that?
Same exact mentality, whether it's an extra point in the first quarter or a game winner from 50 yards in Raymond James Stadium. It does not matter for me. I'm taking every kick like an extra point. That's my mentality. That's the way my dad and I operated. I do the same thing every time. I run out onto the field. I do my 2 dry kicks. Guys are huddling up. Brian breaks them. He picks his spot. I go back. I go over, give him the nod, and away we go. Same every time, no matter what.
And Brian's role in it is huge. I'm
crucial.
Sure a lot of people don't appreciate it. Now maybe Ace Ventura helped people understand the importance of the laces out just a little bit.
Finkel Einhorn.
Yes. So take us through how important Brian's job is for you and why is Brian good at it?
Well, first of all, Garrison starts everything. So we have to acknowledge him and the way that he does his job as a 9-year pro. He's tremendous. Getting the ball to Brian. Now, maybe the laces are a quarter turn off. Brian adjusts for that as soon as he catches the ball, but they're not a quarter turn off. Garrison's perfect every time. It's
wow.
Amazing to watch. It really is. But Brian being able to get that ball down quickly gives me more of an opportunity to see it and thereby allowing me a better visual. We get kicks off in less than 1.3 seconds, so we have to operate very quickly. Brian putting the ball in the exact spot that I need it to every single time allows me to do my job because I know it's going to be there. I don't have to think twice about it. Just go put my foot in the ground and kick it.
That's incredible. And the 1.3, I think, is amazing just how detailed what you guys do is. Mm-hmm. That it's one thing to say we do it quickly. Mm-hmm. It's another to know to the tenth of a second.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing the three of you guys in the locker room one day doing all of your scouting of the other team. Mm-hmm. And how long it took them. And I had never thought about the idea of you guys scouting. It's because it's not like you go against their kicker. It's not like a direct matchup like that.
Right.
But I thought that was kind of interesting. So tell us a little bit about that role you play for the special teams, of what you guys look at about the other team and what the acceptable time limits are and what that tells you.
Well, we chart the other kickers and punters that we're going up against that week to help our special teams unit know where they might kick the ball on a kickoff, know based on hash marks where the guy might like to punt it. And we chart hang times, we chart distances, and we chart results of the kick. We get this information for the coaches who then disseminate it to the other guys on the team, the other guys that are playing special teams, in an effort to get as prepared as possible. Because going into a game on Sunday, you want to be the most prepared person on that field. And truthfully, these guys do a great job of preparing themselves for Sunday. I mean, they are, in the highest sense of the word, professionals. And then for us, you know, we'll look at their field goal operation because we can come off the edge and block an extra point like we did against New Orleans this year. And based on whether, you know, a snapper may snap it high, a snapper may snap it low, the kicker may take a little while to get going, we can find an edge. And if we can stop a point or 3 points here, that's a huge turning point in the game. So any benefit we can give to those other guys, we're more than happy to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, we still have one more segment coming up here on Buccaneers Total Access with Pat Murray. You can still get those last-minute questions in, hashtag Bucs Radio on Twitter, the Bucs app with the feature section, or giving us a call. Buccaneers Total Access with Pat Murray, brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is Buccaneers Radio.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Total Access with kicker Pat Murray. Our final segment here, those last minute questions. This is your chance. Hashtag Bucs Radio on Twitter, the feature section of the Bucs app, or give us a call. So before the break, we were talking about how you will scout the other guys and just how much the timing plays into it of whether it's the hang time of a punt or the time from the long snap to the moment it gets kicked. You said for you guys, it's 1.3 seconds is how long it takes you to get it off.
Less than that.
Less. It has to. Is it that it, if it's any longer than that, it gets blocked?
There's a chance. Yeah. Because those guys coming off the edge are quick.
So literally it comes like the, you know, to the 10th of a second for the most part, how long you have until it would get blocked.
Mm-hmm. We chart it every week.
That's incredible. That has to make such a huge difference. I want to know if you try trick kicks ever.
Trick kicks?
Yes. Like dude perfect is what I'm imagining.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Okay.
All the time.
Like what? Tell me some you've tried and, of course, especially which ones you've hit.
Well, I love doing drop kicks. Drop kicks are very natural for me. It's a Gaelic football move. I've drop kicked them from 60-plus before.
Wow.
I've also tried to drop kick them into trash cans beyond the goalposts. Certain onside kicks, you know, the high hopper into a trash can, that one I've been successful with. Kicking off the sticks and making it curve around the goalpost and go in.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of different things that we come up with.
That's awesome. And I now officially know what we're going to do at some point this offseason.
For sure.
We're doing a Dude Perfect with you.
For sure, absolutely.
I love it. Do you love the Dude Perfect guys? I feel like that's the thing
awesome.
That you'd want to be.
Without a doubt. If you guys are listening, I would love to participate.
This is it. Okay, we're officially starting the campaign to get Pat on Dude Perfect. That's what we need to do. And then I also want to know, do you ever get recognized in public? I imagine.
No.
Yeah, never. No. Literally never.
No, literally never. I don't look like a football player.
That was my question is, do you, so first question pretty much anybody asks when they meet a new person, what do you do for work?
Sure.
I imagine this happens to you
all
and
the time.
Then you say I play in the NFL.
No.
What? No?
No. I try to
you make
around.
Other things
yeah,
up?
I make stuff up.
Like what?
Normally my friends will tell people what I do.
What do you tend to say?
I'm a student. I work on Wall Street. I once told somebody I was a florist. You know, just having fun with people. But so, you know, eventually it'll come up that, yeah, you know, I play in the NFL. I've kicked for a couple of years now. And immediately the conversation changes, which I don't normally like, but I'll entertain anybody who has a question. I mean, people are interested. It's an interesting thing that you may not get to hear about all the time. Monday through Saturday, not many people know what goes on. Everybody sees what happens on Sunday. So I'm more than happy to answer questions if people have them.
I just imagine people hearing that you play. Do you always say I'm a kicker or do you just say I play in the NFL?
No, I normally ask them what position they think I am. Yeah.
And what do they say?
Sometimes they say receiver, which I thank them for,
mm-hmm.
and then say, no, I'm a kicker.
Yeah, which this happened to you yesterday. We were talking about this before, and you didn't even know this was happening. But after the game, you were on the phone out by the buses, and there were some fans, you know, hanging around trying to get autographs, and they kept yelling at you, calling you Adam Humphries.
I don't know if Adam would like that too much, but I'll take that compliment.
You'll take it. That's pretty great. I love that. So, yeah, you've literally never been recognized in
no,
public.
Never.
Never once.
No. No.
I find that so funny.
Nah,
is that something you like? Do you want that to happen?
No,
no, you like the anonymity. Okay,
no, I just like doing my thing.
Do people tell you that they have you on their fantasy team
all the time?
And what do they say? Are they like mad at you, or they're like trying to encourage you, or thinking this is going to change what you do because they have you on their fantasy team?
The big one is, why didn't you get me more points this week? And my reply, if I reply, because a lot of the time I don't, my reply is, dude, I can't do anything if I don't kick the ball. I don't know what you want me to do, you know? And people do it in good fun, and it's very humorous. I know that one guy had me on his team, and throughout the course of the season, I didn't get enough opportunities to kick, and I apparently lost him in his fantasy football.
How
league.
Dare you?
Yeah, I was like, dude, that's on you. You got to pick better players than me.
That's pretty great. All right, and then the rules have changed this year for celebrations. And I want to know if we can expect a kicker celebration at any point.
Never.
Never. You will never celebrate. You will never have a designated thing. Like, I just want you and Brian and Garrison to have a group celebration. That's all I want.
Never. There's a famous line. I think Mario Balotelli, who's a soccer player, made it famous. Does a postman celebrate when he delivers your mail? No, because it's just his job.
It's just his job. That's awesome. Well, Pat, this has been great. I really appreciate you coming on here. Good luck this next weekend on Sunday. Excited to see you back in Raymond James. Now we're going to be wondering which letter you pick on that scoreboard each time. Buccaneers Total Access with Pat Murray is brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Stay tuned for all the rest of the coverage this week and the game this Sunday on 97 Rock. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Total Access has been brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Join the conversation at hashtag CatchBucksFever. This is 620 WDAE St. Petersburg and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.